Pablo, listening in Atlanta, Georgia on the EWTN app. Welcome, Pablo, to the program. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
My question is kind of similar to the previous one. My friend claims that between the first and the third century, none of the, you know, small churches in Ephesus or Corinth or anything recognized the Bishop of Rome or the Church of Rome as having primacy over the rest. Is there like evidence or some documents that I can show this person or talk to as far as that?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, if you go to Catholic.com in the tract section, there is a one of the Fathers Know Best tracts that that Jimmy Akin wrote that shows a history of what the Church Fathers said in the early centuries. In fact, St. Irenaeus in particular comes to mind when he points out this succession, not only of apostolic succession, but papal succession, the successor to St. Peter. And they list, the Church Fathers list who these early popes were and his primacy, and recognize his primacy, the primacy of Rome, it's sometimes called, but meaning that the primacy of the church in Rome or the papacy, the papal church. So go to Catholic.com, and in the tract section, you'll find a section on the papacy and tracts on the papacy. You might also want to pick up, for more details on it, Jimmy Akin's book, The Fathers Know Best, where he goes into this as well.
Yeah, it seems like there's so much evidence. When you think about Clement of Rome writing to the Corinthian church in the first century, you know, at a time when the Apostle John is in all likelihood still alive, you know, and Rome, you know, even though he's the Bishop of Rome, he's not one of the original apostles. He is telling the Corinthians, you know, get your act together. You know, John is almost in the next town in Ephesus, and he is not, you know, being appealed to in this case. It's I think that's really interesting evidence. And one can also look at, I mean, you look at Pope Victor in 189 AD, the controversy over the date of Easter, where he's telling, you know, the Eastern bishops, come on, get your act together, get in line with the date that we have chosen in Rome. I find those a couple of examples that kind of stick out in my mind. What do you think about that, Jim?
Yeah, you know, and I also like to look at, you know, what some of the early church fathers had written, and I find it particularly interesting to see that they take great care to point out who succeeded Peter. You know, Linus, mm-hmm. Cletus, Clement, you know, on down. They take great care. They don't say who succeeded John, who succeeded Thomas. Who, you know, they don't go to great care when they're writing to the church in general to defend the apostolic succession from each of the apostles, but mm-hmm. particularly from St. Peter because of his primacy. So I think that's really the best evidence.
Yeah, that's a very
good. And historically, of course, we know it's true as well.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Other historical documents.
Yeah. Eucharistic prayer number one, the Roman canon has that list, of course. So
yes.
We're familiar that we pray it often at Mass. Thanks for that question, Pablo.